Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Radio.
Welcome to Back on the Beat. Here's your host, Dick Kay.
Here I come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with
no, 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 no,
Here he is, Mike Novak. Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Man, oh man, lots going on as always. You know, Mike Sanders is talking about that in our town. Lots going on in his world. Lots going on in my world, too. I spoke yesterday at Greenfest down at Navy Pier. Dennis, you with me there, buddy?
Here loud and clear.
Okay. Yesterday, the Greenfest was interesting because the way they've got it set up is it's at Navy Pier, and I've spoken at Navy Pier. I've spoken at the Flower and Garden Show, and usually what they do, they have the big hall area where they have all the exhibits, and then to do seminars, they have these little rooms up and around the place. Well, that's not the way Greenfest or the Green Festival decided to do this. They have everything in the big room, meaning they've got all the vendors, they've got all the booths, they've got all the displays and all of the seminars all in one big open room.
Wow.
And they have these various stages, right, and they're all mic'd. And the idea is that you know, the louder you are, the better your audience is going to hear you. So I'm doing my talk yesterday from 2 to 3, and about 5 minutes into the stage next to me starts with bongos. They're doing some sort of bongo thing. And, man, they are just kicking it out. And so I just started yelling into the microphone. I said, okay, if it's about noise, let's make it about noise. Bring on the noise. Bring on the funk. All right? And that's what I did.
You rolled with it, huh?
I rolled with it.
Good.
It was not my shining moment. But there you go. Just a little odd. It's not the way I would have set it up, but it is It is. It does give the air of lots going on, and there is. I mean, there's a ton of stuff going on down there, and it's noisy and crazy. So, and the WCPT booth is there, and folks were stopping by, and it's on again today. So, folks who want to get over to the Green Festival at Navy Pier, I don't have the hours in front of me, but look up Green Fest. I have so much stuff here. That's not the one I had time to really have information on. It's kind of a sidebar because we're talking Chicago environmental issues. Mel Nickerson from the Environmental Law and Policy Center is here in the studio with me. Mel, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Always a pleasure to have you here.
Likewise, always nice to be here.
And on the phone, we have my buddy from the Southeast Environmental Task Force, Tom Shepard. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. I'm here.
Great to have you both. Hang on for just a second. I'll just sort of preview things here. And by the way, when we say Southeast Environmental Task Force, Tom, we're not talking Georgia, right?
No, we're talking Southeast Chicagoland.
Exactly. Just want to make that clear. It occurred to me, I was thinking about it, driving in and thinking, wow, if there's people who are not familiar with it, they might think, what do we have to do with the southeast part of the country? No, it's the 10th Ward kind of area that we're talking about there. So we'll get back to Tom in just a second. Later in the show, we have Rick DeMaio weather, 9:45. Rick will be here. He's returned from wherever he was last week. At 10 o'clock, Tom Ogren, who I interviewed several years ago when I was back at Gargantua Radio down the dial, and he has a theory about plants, and I have to admit, I've totally bought into it. The idea that in our efforts, actually in our compulsion to keep things neat, we hate messes, especially in our yards and in our gardens. We don't want things that fruit. We don't want things that have seeds and drop them all over the place because, oh, my God, we might have to pick up a rake. And wouldn't that just be awful? And even worse is, you know, we get the blowers out and things like that, those gas blowers. I was reading this week about a town out east that's trying to get them banned, and a lot of people are up in arms. Well, actually, the landscaping industry is kind of up in arms. And, you know, I work with those people a lot. I talk to them a lot. I interview them a lot, and I got no sympathy. None. I have no sympathy. Leaf blowers are a bane of our existence. They are a blight on society. This is the way I feel. Get a rake. Pick up a rake, you know? Exercise. I mean, too many of us have watched these guys out there blowing stuff around into piles for no good. Yeah, and you know, it's just make work. It's really not doing anything. What, you're blowing dust around and then it's going to blow back? What? You know? Yeah, and you can blow leaves, yeah. You know, maybe we ought to have a great debate on leaf blowers at some time. I got a feeling that there's a lot of people who disagree with me. Probably the manufacturers of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the main one.
And the landscapers and the people who pay for landscaping, because what the argument of the landscapers is that, hey, it's cheaper if you hire us and we have blowers because we get it done faster. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do that debate sometime. But getting back to Tom Ogren, he's come up with this theory that we buy trees because we don't want them messy. And so what do? We buy the male trees. The male trees, and it's you know, and some people write in various stories about this, that it's a sexism thing. But it's really about cleanliness and messes. And when we buy the male trees, what do we get? We don't get the fruits. We don't get the seeds. We get the pollen. And we plant these pollen corridors all over the place in all of our cities. And you know where we plant them? We plant them next to schools. And we plant them next to hospitals. So we're creating a whole generation of kids that are, you know, there are other things that cause allergies, but this isn't helping. So at least that's Tom's argument. And he's been in Canada researching it, and he's going to be on the show at 10 o'clock. Alan Alford from Plantskid. Wait, need my bell. From Plantskid, wonderful sponsor of the Mike Novak Show. You got critter problems? Just going to talk a little bit later at the end of the show about Plantskid and how that works. And I didn't know it, but I found out that Plantskid really is a word, and it's Swedish for, well, yeah, I figured that the way it's spelled, Plantskydd, Swedish for plant protection. So there you go. Learn something new every day. All right. Let's get to the subject at hand. Mel Nickerson in the studio from the ELPC, the Environmental Law and Policy Center, on the line. Tom Shepard from Southeast Environmental Task Force. And let's start with you. I mentioned this a couple of months ago that Alderman Anthony Beal in the Ninth Ward was seeking to lift the ban on landfill dumping in Chicago, and it has gone farther than that. But let's talk about why he did that. What's the story down there? There's some land that used to be dumped on and is not since we passed the landfill ban 30 years ago in Chicago, and now they're trying to reopen that. What's the story?
Right. Well, first of all, thanks, Mike, for having us on, and also thanks for more or less breaking the story, I guess you could say.
Well, I'm happy that I was the guy who broke the story. I'm glad to see that some of the other media have picked up on it. You got interviewed by WBBM Radio the other week.
Right. Well, they're finally picking up on it, and they're slow to come to this story because of so much other things going on in Chicago, which you report on all the time and talk about. But this is a very crucial issue, very important, and you're right that an ordinance was introduced in the city council very quietly about a month and a half ago, and which would eliminate the moratorium on landfilling in Chicago. And it's primarily done to open up one dump on the far south border of the city on 138th Street, owned by Land and Lakes Corporation. And we really don't want to see that. And as you pointed out, there has been a moratorium in place since the early 1980s. And in 2005, we fought very hard to have a 20-year moratorium imposed because before that, it was going every 2 years. It had to be reintroduced in the city council. Finally, Alderman Pope from the 10th Ward had an ordinance passed in council that forbade any landfilling for the next 20 years, and we're very satisfied with that until now.
So here you have, we've passed the ban in Chicago, and like you said, for 30 years, it was on a two-year basis. It's, okay, do you want to continue this? Yeah, let's continue this for a while. Yeah, people really don't want to dump in the landfills here in Chicago. Yeah, and then finally, we get enlightened, and in 2005, pass a 30-year extension of that landfill ban, which I think a lot of folks like you and perhaps like me thought, well, this is just the prelude to making it permanent and just never having to worry about this again. And lo and behold, here we are in 2012, 7 years later, and Land and Lakes would really, really like to dump there, but because they're still doing it in Dalton, right?
Exactly, right alongside this very land.
Right, and those two lands are adjacent, except that they're divided by the city limits.
Right, they used to be divided by a city street. However, that street was vacated and given over to the Land and Lakes Corporation. So they own both sides of the street, making it very convenient for them.
So at this point, Land and Lakes thinks they can legally, or maybe it's not, it's actually the city of Dalton, isn't it, that would be, is doing the Land and Lakes wants it to happen because that's their land, right? But who's maybe I should bring this to Mel Nickerson here in the studio, the legal aspect of it. How is it they think they can take a land away from the city of Chicago?
That's an excellent question, Mike. Bottom line is there is a little known statute on the books dealing with municipal governance of issues.
How come these statutes, they're always little known? Yeah, well, you know, and then they sneak up and bite you in the butt.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, forgive me, but let me try and put this into some very simplistic terms. We are very familiar with situations in which local governments, whether they be cities, counties, or states, take land from privately held property owners for the purposes of the public good. I mean, highways are a great example of that. This is the reverse of that. This is when a privately held piece of land decides, you know what, we want to annex ourselves out of one jurisdiction, locality, and into another. And there are basically six criteria. They're very subjective in the sense that they account for or they require a proof of that the land is adjacent to another locality. And in this instance, the land and lakes property is. It goes on to look at other criteria, but the criteria is so narrow that there is a great likelihood that the lawsuit would be successful, and then Land and Lakes would simply disconnect their property, call it Dalton, but then leave the residents of the city of Chicago, particularly in the southeast side, the 9th and 10th wards, with this terrible environmental and public health blight situation.
How, and either one of you can address this, how likely is this to succeed in the courts? Tom, what do you think? Do you know?
Well, Mal, you're the legal guy, but I thought that this was unprecedented in the city, and I need to clarify that for your listeners, Mike, because there's a two components to this story, and one, as Mal pointed out, that the Land and Lakes Corporation is trying to de-annex these 87 acres from the city limits, which and put them into the Dalton Village limits, where the landfill is currently operating and permitted. So then they would have these two adjacent pieces of property to be able to landfill for the next 29 years they're talking about now, but actually it would be infinitely because they own so much property there. However, as Mal points out, it looks like they might meet the criteria that's required to de-annex from the city, but this would open floodgates all over. I don't see how the how a court is going to allow them to do that, because next maybe Riverdale wants to do the same thing, maybe Calumet City, which has the granddaddy of all the landfills, the big waste management landfills out there, they could do the same thing because they have a pretty much the same situation being on the border of the city, and this could happen anywhere.
Do you see it the same way, Mel?
Yeah, I do. I do. And, you know, I want to stress the very serious nature of this petition to disconnect filed by Land and Lakes. Again, it's based on six criteria. I won't get into the nuts and bolts of what those six criteria are, but I want to draw attention to the fact that it includes such subjective criteria as you know, is the land adjacent to the border of another jurisdiction? Will disconnection result in a significant loss of tax revenue? Will it cause undue interference within the municipality that the property would be removed from? And so, again, you know, with this sort of narrow focus, it is not a good venue or a good way to let the judge know the history of the Calumet area since the 1800s. And I know Tom, you'll attest to this as well, but since the 1800s, this has literally been an industrial dumping ground or playground, if you will. It has been home to several steel mills. It has been home to a sewage treatment facility with dry beds to take that sludge that comes out of the sewer system and just dry it out for whatever applications for disposal. And then also, you had at one time, 90% of the city's operational landfills were in this area. And it is just appalling. This land was originally 20,000 acres of wetland, pristine west wetland. The governor and President Obama and Mayor Rahm Emanuel have coordinated with an announcement by the governor last December that there would be an initiative with federal dollars, state dollars, and some city funds to restore this pristine ecological area, these wetlands.
Yeah, and this is this flies right in the face of that. This is but you guys knew that this was not going to be easy to get this done. Listen, we're talking to Mel Nickerson from the Environmental Law and Policy Center, Tom Shepard from Southeast Environmental Task Force. Hang on, you guys. We will get back to this conversation. If anybody wants to weigh in, 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Now, Wally isn't a real doctor, and you can tell because he doesn't do house calls. Last fall, you aggressively pruned your lilac bushes. This spring, they didn't flower. What happened? Well, lilacs set their flower buds on old wood in fall, which will bloom the following spring. Prune your lilacs in the fall or late winter, and they will not flower the following spring, or possibly for a couple of springs. You're cutting off the buds when you do that. There is a time frame of about 2 weeks, Wally says, after the lilac flowers and the flowers dry, and that's the time you get this done. Other spring flowering plants that bloom on the same schedule as lilacs include dogwood, bridal wreath spirea, that's easy for me to say, forsythia, honeysuckle bushes, viburnum, weigelia, and deutzia. Remember to clean your pruners with rubbing alcohol before and after pruning. Avoid using high nitrogen lawn fertilizers around your spring flowering trees and shrubs, which can cause excessive leaf growth and poor flowering. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at pesci's.com. Find the link to more of Dr. Wally's tips on the homepage at mikenovak.net.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees Facebook page. Yeah, you can like the Care of Trees on Facebook. The Care of Trees linked to the Chicago Trees Initiative, which has some advice for planting trees. One of the most significant mistakes is to plant the tree too deeply. Folks, if you're going to make a mistake, plant it higher. But really, you want to plant the root ball where the flare from the root just hits the ground level. Anyway, most tree roots are located in the top 12 inches of soil. And if the roots are covered with more soil, the chance for oxygen exchange is compromised and can cause the roots to suffocate. Planting a portion of the root ball slightly above grade and sloping away from the trunk will help to ensure good trunk and root aeration. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Speaking of trees, I got a tweet here. I was talking about allergy-free gardening, which we'll be talking about in the second hour. People are always telling me what a mistake it was to put in a magnolia because it's so messy. You know, people are weenies. If that's the biggest thing you have to worry about, man, you need to get over yourself. For the best looking lawn that's free of Japanese beetles, also known as common lawn grub, look no further than Milky Spore Environmentally Safe Grub Control. And it's available now at Allsip Nursery. Like all St. Gabriel organic products, Milky Spore is harmless to children, pets, birds, fish, and beneficial insects. But this non-chemical, naturally occurring bacteria is lethal to grubs. In fact, just 3 applications of Milky Spore granules for 2 years or a single application of Milky Spore powder to your lawn will prevent grubs for 10 years, and they say it's guaranteed. Besides lawns, Milky Spore can be used almost anywhere in the yard, including vegetable gardens, right up to the time of harvest. You'll find Milky Spore, and do be aware that it's only for Japanese beetles. It's not for the other grubs, for the annual beetles, that the June bugs that come out here, just the Japanese beetles. They are different insects. I want you to keep that in mind. And anyway, you can find these great all-natural, environmentally safe lawn and garden products from St. Gabriel Organics at Allsip Nursery in Frankfort on Route 45 in Illinois, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, and online, of course, at allsipnursery.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Deer and rabbits can destroy a season of work in just one night. Yes, they can. So protect your prized vegetables and flowers with Bonide's all-natural go-away deer and rabbit repellent and save your vegetable gardens, flower gardens, shrubs and trees from the depths of destruction. Go-away liquid is available in both concentrate and ready-to-use formulations, can be applied directly to plants, keeping animals from eating them for up to 45 days. It can also be applied directly to vegetables and fruit up to the day of harvest. And go-away granules can be used around all gardens to protect against marauding animal pests, and it's effective for up to 2 months. Look for go-away deer and rabbit repellent products at Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, Illinois, Mel's Ace Hardware in Elmhurst, Illinois, Gensler Gardens in Loves Park, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or your Droid.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way, I can see no way, and all of the goods come out to play.
Well, nothing Sunday morning like a nice organ in the background there, a whatever song. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio, I've got Mel Nickerson from the Environmental Law and Policy Center. And on the phone, I've got Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force. And we're talking about the proposed lifting of a ban on dumping into landfills in the city of Chicago. And Dennis, is Dan about this issue here?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. We're going to take a quick call, you guys. Let's go to Dan on the north side of Chicago. Dan, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, hi. It seems to me, listening to this, that there might be a couple of legal precedents brewing here. We've just had a whole lot of attention to the issue of proximity to schools, vis-a-vis the traffic cameras. And there could be a parallel application of the law, and I'm really asking Tom particularly about this, that this is parallel to the proximity of dumps. It's also parallel to this huge problem we're facing of cell phone towers, which tend to be put in poor neighborhoods, but if you look around, they're on top of some hospitals, they're all over. that why can't we get some equal application of that law as a civic precedent or a legal precedent?
Well, address that, Dan?
Sure, please.
Yeah, I can't answer the legal questions, and I would leave that to Mel. He is a lawyer. But I would say that the moratorium that was imposed did just that. It said that landfills should not be within, you know, such close proximity of residents of the city. That's why our garbage goes out to more remote places. Now, our effort is not just to say, not in my backyard, and to send it away. We also believe that, as the mayor has pointed out, we need to increase and improve recycling. We need to increase and improve our composting in the city and reduce our the garbage that we do send to landfills. But the moratorium covered that issue and said that, no, the garbage doesn't belong within the city limits. Right at this location, although it's not right close to any schools, it is within maybe a couple of blocks of Little League Diamonds, a golf driving range. The Dalton Park District has a basketball court over there, and hardly anybody can come to this property, because when the wind blows from the north off this landfill, you literally will be gagged by the odors and the methane in the air. It's just so horrible.
You know, that's a really good point, Tom. In all of this, the machinations in the courts, and this is to you too, Mel, is quality of life ever considered in these decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. Quality of life is typically considered in these type of scenarios. But, you know, there are also counterbalancing criteria, such as public health and safety, which the companies will provide documentation, engineering reports that, you know, there won't be a significant amount of pollution or disruption of the public well-being.
And we know that's not true.
Exactly.
I mean, that's on the face of it. I mean, is this some sort of little – and Dan, by the way, Dan, thank you for your contribution. I appreciate the phone call.
You bet.
Bye-bye. It's almost like this little dance you do in court, and we all wink and nod and say, oh, no, really, this is not such a bad thing to happen to this part of the city. And people who live there, Tom, as you just said, know this is terrible, that this is not good, that the air is polluted and you're breathing in all this stuff.
Right.
So how that's what I don't get, is it's like this gentleman's agreement that we all know it's an untruth, but we'll continue to use this as an argument.
Yeah, I want to point out, first of all, to the caller, that was a great suggestion. You know, unfortunately, we have some iterations of restrictions on where certain things can be placed in terms of proximities to hospitals, schools, so on and so forth. But in many instances, even when good legislation hits the books, many bad facilities are grandfathered in. I can think of one in Fort Heights, which burns tires, which is just a block away from a daycare center. And we need to look no further than Little Village and Pilsen to think about the Fisk and Crawford plants.
Right.
The problem being is sort of twofold. One is we do need to concentrate and look more heavily at when any time we have a potential for pollution within a densely populated urban area, there needs to be greater weight to zoning restrictions. And then also we have to deal with sort of retroactively what are the effects of those facilities that have been grandfathered in. That is a grave concern. And then, you know, finally, I think a key point here is that, you know, in these very difficult economic times, you know, everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but many people are compelled by the idea of having to generate new economic revenue. So I'm certain for the city of Dalton, the potential for a new landfill means more money in their tax base. Dalton is a very economically depressed area. You know, I mean, it is one of the poorer sections of Cook County, easily,
but
if not the entire state.
But it also seems cynical to supply not the really good jobs, but the jobs that cause environmental distress to the area. It's don't worry, we'll give you some jobs. Yeah, but you're going to have to pay the price for it. That's not the kind of jobs or income they want, you know, at the expense of their health and their quality of life? Really? Is that what the people of Dalton want? I don't know. That's a question I would ask. All right, but I want to get on something else because we're running out of time here and it goes so fast. This took another step the other week when a bill got introduced in the General Assembly. And State Senator Don Harmon, who's been on this show before, introduced Senate Bill 3728. And now that's bringing Cook County into the mix, right? And the idea was that it would prohibit new or expanded landfills anywhere in Cook County. And then you guys went downstate to talk to them and to be at this hearing and to testify on behalf of the bill. And then suddenly the plug got pulled on it. The hearing was canceled. And from what I understand, it was because of pressure from the waste industry. What story with that, Mel?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great and accurate description. The bottom line is the Waste Management Association really put on a full court press. You know, they're
and let me clarify this. You're not saying waste management, the name of that company, but just the waste industry put the full court press on.
Exactly. And there was a lot of misinformation being circulated, but I'm really pleased to say.
Oh, I got to stop you right there. Like what? What kind of misinformation?
Well, they have been articulating that this is simply about one company potentially gaining at the disadvantage of another company. So, you know, legislators don't like to pass legislation to enable or to prosper one company at the expense of others. I mean, it's kind of contrary to free market system, capitalism, so on and so forth. The bottom line is there was a lot of misinformation being circulated amongst the Senate, various Senate members. But I think the key thing that I want to focus on here is that, you know, our organization, the Environmental Law and Policy Center, Tom's organization, the Southeast Environmental Task Force, and residents from that area, we partnered up hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, and we made some real strides down in Springfield last week. We were able to get the message out about what this is really about. It's about one company trying to create an end run around a democratically passed ordinance for their own personal gain. This is not the first time that Land and Lakes has used the court system to try and get around the moratorium. They tried it in the early 90s, and finally it was the First District Appellate Court that said, hey, guess what? You don't have a constitutional right. You don't have a fundamental right to operate a landfill, not at the expense of public health and the environment.
So at what happens to the legislation, to that bill? Is it going to come back up?
Yes, absolutely. We are very confident about the bill being brought to a committee next week for a hearing. We are very confident that the bill will get voted out of committee and, you know, with some luck and some hard work, get the bill out of the Senate and over to the House.
I see that State Representative Constance Howard and State Representative Thaddeus Jones are also behind it. Tom, this takes us to what you're going to do tomorrow, and there's going to be a press conference about this at the Thompson Center, correct?
Yes, we're working on a press conference, Mike, and we're still trying to pick the day in between some of Mayor Emanuel's monumental announcements downtown so we can get the press to actually come out. But we do have something we plan for tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Hey, listen, you got to be alpha dog. Tom, you know, you want to get heard by the press. They love Alpha Emanuel. So you got to do something that you got to bark a little louder is what I'm saying.
Take off the gloves and get in there with the mayor, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody can help us out, Mike, by calling 311. It's very simple. Three little digits on your telephone and tell the switchboard operator to let the mayor and the alderman know that we are not in favor of lifting the landfill moratorium, that we don't want to have garbage dumps in the city of Chicago.
Now, how is it you can do it through 311?
They will register your comments or your complaints at 311, but I would also say to pick up the phone to your alderman, because this is a 50-ward issue. It is not confined. Pollution doesn't stop at any ward boundary or city boundary. This is a 50-ward effort, and we really need people from throughout the city to say no to this, because it could happen in your backyard too.
And finally, last but not least, the weirdest complication of all is Anthony Beal from the 9th Ward, the alderman, who is trying to preempt this by overturning the landfill ban. Now, we've been talking here for 20 minutes, half an hour, about what's going on. And in the midst of this, the alderman comes in and says, I have a solution. Let's just lift the ban ourselves in the city of Chicago, and that will fix everything. I'm afraid I can't follow his logic. I just can't follow the logic. Can either of you?
Not really. Mel, what would you say about that? We've sent a delegation to his office to demonstrate out there, so we can't figure it.
He's kind of go ahead, Mel.
Oh, no, I was just going to say absolutely concur with you, Tom. I mean, you know, you just pause and scratch your head, because it's hard to make sense of any efforts to lift the moratorium. It would not benefit the residents. It would not benefit the city of Chicago. And there's no need for it. We don't have a landfill capacity problem in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. What we do need to focus on, though, and Tommy mentioned this earlier, is, and you also mentioned this in part, Mike, we have a need for sustainable recycling jobs in the state of Illinois. The Illinois Recycling Association, with grant money from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, did a study back in the fall of 2010, and they came out with these numbers. The recycling industry in the state of Illinois created over 100,000 jobs. That's 100,000 jobs. Its payroll was $3.6 billion, and it created $30.3 million in gross receipts, and another $1 billion in state and local property revenue, tax revenue. So this is an industry that is sort of in the shadows. It is an industry that is key to our economic development. It is key to our environmental well-being. And, you know, bottom line, this is an opportunity to put people to work. So I think the last time I was on this show, Mike, if I don't remember this correctly, bottom line is, this is a call out to Rahm Emanuel and his administration. We need to focus on a citywide recycling plan.
Amen, brother. That's the thing about the rollout, and I know we got to wrap up here, but with the rollout of the blue carts, I'm sure a lot of folks in the city of Chicago are saying, oh, this is done. We're finished here. Well, that's not true. It's just not true. I talked about this with Carl Zimmering a few weeks ago. Now, not only do we have to educate people, we really need a comprehensive approach to recycling in the city of Chicago. Not just the blue carts, because we still got the high-rises. We still have organic matter that's not picked up. A lot of people complain that their stuff ends up in the landfill anyway. And you hear these stories behind the scenes about the garbage workers who say, oh, don't worry, it's all going to the same place. And it makes everybody cynical. We got to fight all that. And you're right, it has to be more comprehensive. All right, that's Mel Nickerson from the Environmental Law and Policy Center. We were going to talk about gasification projects. I'm flat out of time. We will do that. So you're on the schedule for that. Tom Shepard, thank you so much. The press conference tomorrow, 10 a.m. at the James R. Thompson Center, 100 West Randolph. I'm going to be there representing Chicago Recycling Coalition, Open Lands, ELPC's representative, Illinois Environmental Council, South Chicago Neighborhood House, Southeast Environmental Task Force, and Alderman John Pope, 10th Ward, and others. Tom, thank you so much for your help, and great talking to you today.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Take care now. If you're looking for a one-stop garden center for all your gardening and landscaping needs, look no further than Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster Street in Des Plaines. You can depend on Lurvy for everything that grows and everything that goes in the landscape, from annuals to perennials to trees and shrubs to sod to pond products to one of the most complete lines of natural stone and pavers in the Chicago area. It's all there, along with expert advice and quality service. I was there just a few weeks ago. I couldn't believe all the stone products they have. And I never, and I hadn't realized that they are kind of the leader in this and in supplying these for your home and yard. Take advantage of container workshops every Friday throughout the month of May. For $39, the Lurvy staff will guide you through creating your personal masterpiece, providing you with the container and a wide selection of plants. You make the mess at Lurvy's house and take home your dream container. You leave the mess there, they clean it up. Stop by Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, 2550 East Dempster Street in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Oh, or go to Lurvy's, Lurvey's.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only 1/3 of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the wasteland and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We go to the phones. We bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Rick, how are you?
Good morning, Mike. Very stimulating conversation there. I just took out all the I just took out all the soil from my backyard. So I have stuff to put something in.
Wait. You took your soil out of your backyard?
Yeah. You know, you're talking about landfill. So now there's I removed soil so I can put, you know, things like grass and shrubs and trees.
Ah, I didn't know you had land there.
It's part of the city's park department. You know, it's their park district, but I consider it my own, you know. When you live in an apartment building, you kind of have to do that kind of stuff.
I know, because I know you have the balcony and the wonderful view, and you can put stuff up on the balcony. Although, you have, being on the lake, you have one of the most exposed balconies in the city, don't you?
I would probably say so, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's so exposed, even the squirrels think it's too exposed. They go, nah, they don't like it up here. It's too windy.
They won't even mess with it, huh?
No, they won't even mess with it. But you know, it's interesting because my neighbor next door actually decided that that little roundabout that I have in front of my building, she took out all the ugly grass and kind of junky stuff that was growing in there, and she decided to make it her own little, you know, community garden, which is great, and I wish more people would, you know, take advantage of that. Just because you live in an apartment building doesn't mean that you can't, you know, take advantage of all the wonderful dirt that the city allows us to keep, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
There's
one way of looking at reverse landfill, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and the idea being that if we're all returning stuff to the earth, there's not as much going into the landfills, and that includes not just the plastic bottles and the cans and all the problem is the junk we create. Remember when and I mentioned Carl Zimmering a little earlier today when he was on the show several weeks ago. He talked about how we make automobiles these days, and it really made sense. We make so many of the parts that go into automobiles are things that are not easily disposed of. And they contain chemicals or certain fabrics or things that don't break down. And,
right. You
know, we're not making them out of wood.
No, we stopped doing that a long time ago.
Yeah, we did. And that's those things are hard to recycle.
Right.
And they're not even just, you know, steel anymore. There's fiberglass and there's everything else. And, you know.
Yeah, there's so much plastic in cars.
And plastic, yeah, plastic products as well.
Yeah, but I made sure I turned off the bongo drums in my background while I talked.
you heard that. Oh, I got to tell you, those bongo drums were really loud yesterday. That was a strange situation.
What you're referring to, for people just checking in right now, is the fact that you were at the Green Fest yesterday talking, and they had basically all the all the talkers and all the speakers and going in one way, and as George Carlin used to say, you end up hearing this.
It's kind of what it was.
I've been in those situations before, and as soon as you get something out and you look at the people and they're looking at you in the same stoic face that they looked at you for the previous 5 minutes, that you realize at that point that they're not hearing anything that you're saying.
Well, actually, I made sure they did. I'm kind of an egomaniac that way. I want them to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they were attentive. It was really nice. The people who were there. In fact, in the audience was Amtrak Tim, who's not been on the show a while. He's going to be on at the top of the second hour. We're going to chat a little bit.
Great.
So and his picture's on the homepage of MikeNovak.net right now.
Terrific, yeah.
So what's going on out there? It seems like we're pretty normal right now.
You know what? I mean, after we had that rain event on Thursday afternoon, where we had nearly 2.5 to 3 inches of rain across the part of the northern suburbs, not all of them, but boy, if you draw a line from about Northbrook to Evanston to about, say, the O'Hare area to northern DuPage County southward, some of those places got absolutely nailed with rain anywhere between 2.5 and about 3 inches. But if you know you were in Arlington Heights to Palatine, north to about, say, Lake Forest up through northern Lake McHenry and you know, Boone County, you got absolutely nothing. I mean, it was one of those strange events where you had very slow-moving, what we call training thunderstorm echoes, and where it rained, it came down really hard with a lot of hail as well. It wasn't typically severe weather. There was some wind gusts better than 50 miles per hour. And then south of that, generally across the south side of the city, virtually no rain came down from a standpoint of any heavy precipitation. And then you went south of I-80, and they got about 2 inches of rain down there. So it was acting more like of a summer-type situation where the showers and thunderstorms were very isolated, but they were also moving in almost the same direction that they were developing. So you get these training echoes. Now, later on today, this afternoon and this evening, a little bit different story. We are under a flash flood watch. That means that any rains that do fall, most likely over the areas that you had heavy rain on Thursday, will probably produce some flooding, which means between Thursday and basically Sunday night, some areas may receive total of up to 5.5 to 6 inches of rain.
Yikes.
And obviously with the saturated soil, that could produce some flooding. I don't think we're going to see much in the way of any serious flooding because I do think the rains are going to come down over a long duration, sometime between maybe 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon, probably into tomorrow morning. So this is not something where we're going to have, you know, massive amounts of rain come down in a short amount of time, although when it does rain, it will rain hard. So this is great from a standpoint of gardening because this is what we need, a nice soaking rain that's going to cover pretty much 100% of the area. And looking at some of the information from the Midwest Regional Climate Center, not only are we getting pretty much back to normal just about everywhere, but what I like to look at, Mike, is that subsoil moisture. You go down about 4 inches, and just about all of Will County, Grundy County, anywhere between about an inch and a half of water in that first 4 inches. If you go further north of Cook County, northern Cook, Lake McHenry County, pretty much about three-quarters to about an inch. They're down about a half inch, but I think that's all going to come back very, very quickly over the next several days. So with that in mind, once we get past the rains later on tonight and into tomorrow, this is really, really good stuff for the farmers, really good stuff for the weekend gardeners, and just about anything that you've planted in the last couple of weeks or so should be fine. And we're obviously out of the threat for any freezes as well, Mike.
Excellent. And it looks like, you know, we're just moving towards that warm weather period where we get the tomatoes and peppers in the ground.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. Now, as far as any real hot weather is concerned, even though we made it into the mid-80s on Thursday, and it obviously felt, you know, every bit of that because the humidity levels were really high. And oddly enough, that, on Wednesday when we hit 81 degrees, that was the first time we had hit 80 since way back on March the 22nd, which is just bizarre that we went through the entire month of April without an 80. We were actually 3 degrees cooler in April than we were in March, which is bizarre to say the least, because
yeah,
you don't really get bookend months like that, particularly when you head out of a winter season into a spring season, with the one that's supposed to be cooler actually warmer, which was really strange. But the overall pattern does bode well for getting back into some warmer weather, probably not until maybe late Thursday or Friday. And if we do, it looks like we'll be generally in the low to mid-80s. But the overall pattern looks very nice from a standpoint of precipitation just about every 3 to 4 days, heat in between that, but generally not anything in the extreme category. And if anybody was concerned about us going into somewhat of a dry spell, because we were rather dry up until about a week ago, I think all that's going to be squashed. So just about on all ends, from a standpoint of moisture, from a standpoint of sunshine, from a standpoint of heat, we're in very, very good shape between now and I'd say the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Excellent. All right. Good to have you back. Welcome back. Are you going to be on CBS anytime soon?
Sometimes, maybe I think sometime in early June, but nothing concrete yet. Still working on
okay.
Some school projects right now. And you know how it is when you're a college student, you get to that last week just about every possible time you have to squeeze something in, you got to squeeze it in. So
absolutely.
No TV for a while.
All right. Rick DeMaio, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com or my homepage, MikeNovak.net. We will talk to you next week, Rick.
See you, Mike.
Take care.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Oh, we love vegetables here on the Mike Novak Show, and we like to believe they love us back. But you know what else veggies like? Dr. Earth's homegrown probiotic vegetable garden planting mix. It's rich in earthworm castings, kelp meal, and fishbone meal, and ideal for organic gardens. So much more fun than organic chemistry. I remember it fondly. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers, can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. All right, coming up on the second hour, we're going to be talking to Tom Ogren about trees, why you might not want to just keep buying all those male trees. Get out your handkerchief because you might be sneezing. And Alan Alford from PlantSkid, all on the Mike Novak Show, and I hope you stick around.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I could use this for my theme. This this would work pretty well. I remember when they used this for back in the day. I believe it was 84 when the Cubs won their first division title. That was the theme.
That's when Dennis was a little baby.
Really?
Yes, sir.
You are so annoying. You know, most of the people around here, they are just so annoying. Although I had this woman come up to me at the Green Festival yesterday. Met her. I was at the CPT booth, and Fred Newsom was there and said, "Oh, that's Mike Novak." She said, "Really?" And she came over and she looked at me and she talked for a little and she said, "You know what? You sound a lot younger on the radio." Thanks. Thank you very much. I said, but I feel young. I look old, but I feel young.
Sometimes you got to roll with the punches to get to what's real, you know?
Well, it is real. If I could change anything, I wouldn't be this old anymore. But another guy who was there at the festival is a guy on line one, the man, the legend, Amtrak Tim. How are you, Amtrak Tim?
I'm doing fine, Mike. And my one of my favorite holidays is coming up next weekend,
which is
National Train Day. We'll be at Union Station between 11 and 4. This weekend at coming up weekend at Union Station. There'll be lots of great stuff. There'll be Radio Disney there. It'll be for the kids. They'll have a display of some of the old style of sleeping cars, and they'll have, of course, the new modern equipment will be there as well. Mm-hmm. I would try talking up high speed rail and the investments that the state of Illinois has been making, unlike other states.
Our
rail system.
You know, I love these all these Republican governors who have turned down the rail money. It's like, okay, more for us. Fine, idiots.
They're not looking to the future. The future
is rail. Yeah, it's just it's insanity. Let's cut off. It's not even cutting off their own noses to spite their faces. It's cutting off their constituents' noses.
Well, they're not looking at the rest of the world. The rest of the world, let's see, we have high-speed rail in Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, China, Spain, France, England, the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany. I mean, we have a rail service right now in some place in the United States that is the same speed as Baghdad to Basra. The rail speed in Texas is the same speed as it is in the newly rebuilt Iraqi rail lines. And I just had a war there.
It's
crazy.
It is crazy. And why we don't get on, you know, I was talking earlier. I don't know if you heard the thing earlier. It's this, when I was talking about the landfill ban and how the lawyers,
I was talking about that.
And the lawyers go into courts and they all pretend that this is really the quality of life issue is a serious issue that they're seriously addressing when it's all lies. And they all have this handshake and agreement that says, oh, yeah, landfills. And you know, it's the same thing with where we're going as a country in terms of our energy development.
I think what it boils down to is Americans have got to get a passport and see the rest of the world and not be ashamed to say that some of the things they're doing in other parts of the world are better, and we're going to bring those ideas here, and we're going to do it even better than they're doing it.
Yeah, but you're assuming people want to leave the country and travel the world. I mean, to a large degree, Americans, they're not interested in the rest of the world. They certainly don't want to hear the news from the rest of the world, they're more interested. You know, again, listening to Mike Sanders talk earlier today, they're interested in what the Kardashians are doing, and that's it. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. And we talk about voting and how votes have consequences, and people don't research their politicians and the candidates and know what they stand for. I'll tell you something, Tim. I cannot figure out the people who are on the fence, tell you the truth. I mean, you know, maybe it's my problem that I'm too steeped in my own beliefs, but the people who every 4 years say, yeah, I don't know which way I'm going to go. Are you kidding me? Really? Do you have no views about anything? So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if you look at like my father-in-law, he's Chinese, and he comes here like every summer. He spends a summer with us. And one thing he's told me is that since he's been coming back here, you know, for the past, you know, 10, 15 years, the United States isn't really changing, whereas China and other places in Asia are developing.
Right.
They're growing and developing, and we're just staying stagnant. And we're going to be left behind if we don't start investing in our own country, in our own mass transport. I mean, landfills. Landfill is just – it's retarded use of land. You should be – there are so many things you can do with land rather than putting garbage in it.
And that's the thing. We do the issue after issue, as you just pointed out, travel. We have, the mass transportation. How are our cars powered? What is our air like? Where is the green energy coming from? And at every turn, there are people saying, oh, no, you can't do that. It's going to cost us jobs. You know what it's going to cost us? It's going to cost us leadership in the world. We're watching the empire sink below the waves right now. And I don't want us to be an empire. I'm just saying we're watching the great country that we're not the great country we were when I was a kid. We are not. We have gone into so many ways into second tier, and it's just sad to watch it happen.
Well, I think the problem is that people haven't. I think travel is a big part of it. People have to see other parts of the world and understand. You know, we need to catch back up.
Yeah.
There needs to be. We need to invest in ourselves and not be worried about spreading this democracy or whatever, you know, fighting all these wars everywhere. We need to invest in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's put it back here. If I was president, we'd be leaving Afghanistan tomorrow. We would have left it last. We would have left it last year. You know, it's just it's. I don't know why we're still there. And I'm frankly just sick of all the jumping through the hoops to explain the policies there, and then tying ourselves to Karzai for another 14 years. Are you kidding me? Whatever.
Let me tell you something, and I'll let you go with this. I've done work over in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia, and I sent you this picture of the oil fields. We can talk about it at some other time. And I remember flying back from Bahrain to Chicago. And Bahrain has got a U.S. naval base, so a lot of Marines would come out of theater from – they'd finish the tours in Iraq, and they'd fly back home from there, right? And I remember sitting next to a Marine. He wanted to talk. We were talking about the Iraq War. And he was sitting there next to me, and we were saying, he said, you know, the Iraq War, it's just like the American Revolution. Just like the American Revolution, except we're the Redcoats.
Wow.
This is a guy who just spent 16 months risking his life, and he views himself as a Redcoat.
There you go. That says a lot. That's wise words there, Tim. And it's always a pleasure to hear from you. It was a pleasure meeting you yesterday. And if people want to see what Amtrak Tim looks like, his picture's on the homepage, MikeNovak.net.
And my Mrs. Amtrak Tim says also seconds the your voice sounds much younger.
Great. And next week, next Saturday is tell us one more time.
Next Saturday from 11 to 4 o'clock is National Train Day. Come down and support mass transit that makes sense for this country.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear. Amtrak
Union
Tim.
Station.
Union Station. Okay. Sounds cool. Take care, buddy. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. A couple of things. Then we're going to break. Then we're going to get Tom Ogren on board here, but I've had a lot of people sending me a lot of stuff, and I want to get some of this out. Now, one of the things is a guy named Kevin Camps, who's a longtime leading opponent of government and industry efforts to dump nuclear waste at Yucca Mountain, is in town. He's at the Greenfest today, and tomorrow there's going to be a reception that's sponsored by Beyond Nuclear, Nuclear Energy Information Service, Citizens Advocating for Public Ownership of Water. And it's a talk that we should all be aware of. It's about the ring of nuclear plants around the Great Lakes, and many of them in Illinois. It is... it's something that Kevin Camps is going to be talking about. It's going to be at the home of Angela Turley at 4254 North Hazel in Chicago. Voluntary contribution is requested. Space is very limited. And if you want to be part of this, you can go to NEIS at NEIS.org. That stands for Nuclear Energy Information Service. Or call 773-342-7650. I think this is a guy I want to have on the show because we've got this ring of nuclear plants around the lake, and I don't think we think about it too much. And a year after Fukushima, this is something that we might consider important. I just thought I'd give that information out again, NEIS at NEIS.org, if you want more information about Kevin Camps, who is in town to talk about that. Also, a couple of flower sales. Ding, ding, ding. The native plant sales going on today at the Wildflower Preservation and Propagation Committee. It's their annual sale. At McHenry County College, Route 14, Crystal Lake, noon to 3 p.m. You only got 3 hours, so you better get up there. But there's over 150 species available. Proceeds benefit the WPPC's Outdoor Classroom Grants. You know all the benefits of native plants. I'm not going to go into them here, but I think if you're looking for plants, and I say this in your yard, you know, you get a hole that develops in a don't go with the same old, same old. Get yourself a native. Plug in. You know, every little bit helps. Our natural birds and animals, insects, they find the natives. You put them in your own yard, even if you're in the city. Another plant sale going on today from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Wicker Park Garden Club plant sale. It's a fundraiser to help maintain the park's award-winning gardens and lecture series by purchasing plants. What a great organization, Wicker Park Garden Club. Love them. Let's see where we are here. It's presented by the Wicker Park Garden Club and Wicker Park Advisory Council in collaboration with the Chicago Park District. And the plant sale is 1425 North Damon, rain or shine, West Side Fieldhouse or in the gym if it's raining. And again, it's already on, 10 a.m., just started, to 4 p.m., Wicker Park. Plant sale. What else did I have here? I guess I've been getting all this stuff that's sent in. I know there was one more thing, and I believe it's on the computator here. I've got that. I've got that. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Finally, Sandra Steingraber wrote a book. I interviewed her on the show about a year and a half ago about Living Downstream. It's a book she wrote, and it became a film documentary in 2010. And she's going to be speaking Wednesday, May 9th, this Wednesday at 6 p.m. at Joliet Junior College. You might want to Google that because I don't have it posted right now, but I want to let you know about it. It's free, which is great, and she's wonderful. She's going to talk about the widespread use of toxic chemicals in our environment and their impact upon human health. She has a PhD in ecology, she talks about how her life was changed by cancer and how we have to look for where this is coming from in our world. And we don't do enough of that. So that's this, Wednesday, May 9th. 6 p.m., Sandra Steingraber at Joliet Junior College. I think you'll find that quite amazing. And then the following week, actually 2 weeks, I guess, two and a half, whatever, week and a half, May 19th at Joliet Junior College is GR 2012, Celebrating Sustainability Festival. Free family festival full of activities, displays, speakers, demonstrations, etc. A grand picnic community party. And that's rain or shine, 4 to 7 p.m. Saturday, May 19th at Joliet Junior College. So there you go. Oh, wait, one more. One more. Today at Cantini, they don't do this. They do it once a year. The horticulture department at Cantini is having an open house 10 a.m. to 3. And you get an opportunity that you don't have to go inside the Cantini greenhouse. They have 1,000, more than 1,000 varieties of flowers are propagated there. It's really amazing. The 18,000 square foot greenhouse supplies plants displayed throughout the Cantini Gardens and golf course. So you might want to head out to Cantini. You can go to cantini.org, and that's spelled C-A-N-T-I-G-N-Y. And this is out in Wheaton, Illinois. Visitors should enter Cantini Park through the main entrance on Winfield Road, not at Schaffner Road as in previous years. And a complimentary tram will be running from the main parking lot to the greenhouse. So there you go. And that only happens once a year. You might want to see the Cantini greenhouse if you're out that way. It's a beautiful, beautiful garden. And it would be a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. April, we hardly knew ye. But time marches on, and here we are in May, and you should have a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. You're going to learn about lasagna gardening, which you might have heard of before. It's organic, involves using readily available materials to create a fertile gardening medium, and there's absolutely no double digging or rototilling, ever. I knew that would get your attention. If you're more interested in ornamental plants, say hello to my little friend, the Arrowwood Viburnum. It's a native, it's hardy, it's adaptable, it's resilient, and best of all, it can take some shade. You'll also be introduced to the delightful and cheerful celandine or wood poppy. It's native to this region and enjoys a shady, woodsy setting. Then there's my column on the inside back page, not particularly hardy, adaptable, resilient, or cheerful, but it is somewhat shady. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Are you ready to call in Bill Murray from Caddyshack because of the moles in your garden?
It's in the hole.
Mole Max from Bonide can help bust those burrowing creatures. Mole Max is made from all natural ingredients and is an effective repellent against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. I'm always amazed at how many there are, how many different kinds. And Mole Max is not harmful to animals or people. The dustless and biodegradable granules are safe for use around children, plants, and pets. Just apply 3 to 4 times a year to send nuisance animal pests away. Molmax is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator for flower or vegetable gardens. Molmax is also available in a quart-sized ready-to-spray liquid with a built-in hose-end sprayer. Molmax can be found at Sonoris Brothers in Frankfort, Illinois, Karp's Garden and Feed in Hobart, Indiana, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, or visit Bonide, B-O-N-I-D-E.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or your Droid.
Hey, Mike Novak here to tell you about a great business, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. They have a wonderful new Eco Garden Center to help get you growing this spring. Green Home Experts offers a variety of annuals, perennials, edibles, and all the garden accessories you'll need. Their educated staff is on hand to share techniques that will bring you joy in gardening while you reduce your environmental footprint. They also offer a full line of household products and building materials that allow you to modify and maintain a more sustainable home. Green Home Experts offers many ecologically sound products for your home, inside and out. Be sure to mention me, Mike Novak, when you shop at Green Home Experts and immediately receive $20 off your Eco Garden Center purchase of $150 or more. Don't wait. Stop in at Green Home Experts, 811 South Boulevard in Oak Park. And to find out more about upcoming events and special deals, be sure to like Green Home Experts on Facebook.
And then your announcer says, here's a question for the Care of Trees tree doctor. Can a tree that is uprooted during a windstorm be replanted? Now, the tree doctor says that when large trees are uprooted, so much damage has been done to the root system that they cannot be saved. Even if the trees could be uprighted and anchored, which would be very costly to do, the tearing of the roots will lead to decline in the canopy of the tree over the next several years, resulting in the necessity to remove the tree at a later date. And I've mentioned this before. You know, a lot of folks say, well, you know, the root ball's up, but, you know, the geranium fell out of the pot. I put that back in, and it was fine. Well, trees a much different story, actually. Smaller trees can be uprighted and anchored, so they might have a chance, but there's always a substantial risk that the tree will decline over time and ultimately need to be removed. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Los Angeles.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Well, not just the AM radio, it's also the FM radio, 92.5, 92.7, 99.9 FM. Also 820 AM, Chicago's Progressive Talk. You can go to MikeNovak.net, hear podcasts of the show, and my podcasts are free. So there. They're absolutely free. They don't cost you a nickel, and you can get it through iTunes, or you can just go online and listen to the show if you miss something. Let us bring in Tom Ogren from up in the Northland right now. Tom, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Mike?
Okay. Where are you this morning?
Right now I'm in a town called Ancaster, which is an hour or so west of Toronto.
Okay. And you've been making the rounds of Canada, touring Canada, at the behest of Johnson & Johnson, I understand.
That's right. Johnson & Johnson hired me. They have, in the United States, they sell an allergy medicine called Zyrtec, and then in Canada, a similar product called Reactin. And so they wanted to put out something called, which is going to come out in June, called the Pollen Nation Report, which I'm helping them craft. And so they hired me to do something that has never been done before, which is an allergy audit of an entire country from coast to coast. So I started in Victoria on Vancouver Island, and I drove in my truck and looked at trees and shrubs everywhere, and allergy audited the planted urban forest of the 10 largest cities in Canada all the way to Halifax on the Atlantic Ocean. And now I'm working my way back.
Yikes. That's a big trip.
Oh, I've driven over 7,000 miles already. Because in each town that I'm driving around, and so like, for example, in each town that I go to, or city rather, I go look at a number of elementary schools, and I see how allergy friendly or not the landscape of those elementary schools, and what type of plants did they use, and what could they have used to make them more allergy friendly for the kids.
You know what, Tom? Here's what I'm going to do. Let's back up just a second, because I want to go to the beginning of this, because I interviewed you. It's got to be like 5 or 6 years ago now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you had written a book called Allergy Free Gardening, and the premise of this book is that we're planting the wrong trees, the wrong kinds of trees. Meaning male versus female trees and the effects they have. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, and if people weren't with me at the top of the first hour, I talked about how we're neatness freaks in America and possibly other places in the world. We don't want fruiting trees. We don't want seeds. We don't want anything, because then we have to get the leaf blowers out and we have to get the rakes out and all that and clean up. And oh gosh, there's such a mess. So what did we do? We planted the males of these trees, of these species. And what happened, Tom?
Well, what happened was that the female trees, which some people said were too messy, they didn't produce pollen. They just trapped pollen out of the air and turned it into seeds or pods or litter or something, or whatever you want to call it. But they weren't causing any allergies. The male trees or bushes, their job is to produce pollen. That's what they do, and they produce abundant pollen. Some male trees will produce literally a billion grains of pollen each season. And so what's happening, and I've got this really good look now here at Canada. In all these big cities, they've become male, just predominantly male landscapes. And so you've got literally tens of thousands of trees and shrubs that are male, that are producing all this pollen. You have almost no female plants for the pollen to go to. And so where does that pollen go? The pollen ends up going to us. It's in our hair. It's on our clothes. It comes into the house through our window screens. It's at the elementary schools, and little kids are running around breathing it.
Yeah, as you pointed out the last time we talked, we create these things that you like to call pollen corridors, and we line the sidewalks outside of a school with these trees. We line the sidewalks outside of hospitals with these trees. They can't go doing much good.
Well, they can't, and a pollen corridor is totally for real. I was in Vancouver, and I was driving down a street, and I saw a side street called Ash Grove. So I thought, well, I'll take a look at the ash trees on this and see if they're male clones, because most planted ash trees are. So I got onto Ash Grove, the long block, and right away I saw that there wasn't ash on the street. And I also noticed that all the trees on the street, and they've been planted about 30 feet apart, were all looked to be the exact same kind of tree, clonal trees. And this was quite a while ago, and trees were just starting to bloom, and I had a pair of binoculars, and I was looking up into the tops of the trees, and I started to see some of them were starting to flower. And what these were a hybrid between red maple and silver maple, what they call Fremonti maples.
Well, and that's a very popular variety.
Right, and every single one of them was a male. And so they had planted maybe 300-some trees down this long street, and every single one of them was the exact same tree, and every single one of them was a male. And later on, I brought a TV crew from Vancouver over there to show this, because the tree was already starting to be a pollen corridor. In 5-6 years from now, it'll be a tremendous pollen corridor. In a decade from now, that would be a street, prime street to get allergies or asthma to live on. But a lady came out, and she said, what's going on here? What are you looking at these trees? So explained it, and she goes, oh, male trees, is that bad? And I said, well, it is if you have allergies. And she goes, well, I have allergies. And I said, well, you know, this is called ash grove. Why do they call it that? And she said, well, this street used to be lined with mountain ash, and it was quite beautiful. And there were a lot of birds on the street to eat the mountain ash berries. And somebody on the street complained that all these mountain ash were too messy. And so the city came in and cut down all of the mountain ash and then replaced them all with this clonal hybrid maple. And so the mountain ash, which is a perfect flower tree and does not cause allergies, every one of them was zapped because of this tidiness phenomena you were just talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they lined the whole street with the same exact thing, which is a bad practice for a number of reasons. And they created a terrible pollen corridor. And so I see this whole pollen corridor thing in every city that I've been through in Canada now. Some cities it's worse than others, depending on who is in charge or something. But
is it worse than in America, about the same? Well, what are your findings?
Certain cities were worse than in America. But in America, it's like each city is different, different plants being used, different policies. If you take a big city like Chicago, you'll find what we call proximity pollinosis. In other words, one block will be much worse than a block next to it. One part of a block might be very bad and the rest of the block pretty good. If you walk down any residential street in Chicago with me, I could point out landscapes that are just totally allergenic, and then I could find other ones that were not very allergenic at all. And the whole thing about proximity is that the closer you are to the source of the pollen, the closer you are to the tree or the bush that's producing the pollen, that's where you get the overexposure. That's where you get the heavy exposure. For example, nowadays in Canada, there's lots of places downtown, these like signs says, no smoking within 30 feet of the entrance. And that's fine. They don't want secondhand smoke coming in the building. But then at the same time, they'll plant two huge male juniper bushes right at the entrance so that every time they open the door, all this male juniper pollen comes in, which is super allergenic. So they're paying attention to the secondhand smoke, but they're not paying any attention to the secondhand pollen, which is big problem.
You wrote about that actually, and I mentioned it on my website that in which city was it in the United States where they had to ban certain junipers?
Okay, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they had a case where a 6-year-old boy at the city zoo in the springtime, probably around now, tripped and fell face first into a bunch of planted juniper bushes. They were all male clones. They were full of pollen. These things would just literally smoke with pollen at certain times. The kid came up coughing and choking, and the other kids thought it was funny. And then a little while later, they couldn't find him, and he was found huddled up under a bench. And he had gone into anaphylactic shock, and he died from that. And in Albuquerque, there's an old botany professor named Dr. Potter, and he also is aware of this male selection business and the effect it would have on allergies by just super increasing the pollen load. And so somebody that had been a student of Potter's talked to those parents and said, the city's landscaping killed your son, and they sued the city of Albuquerque. So money was exchanged and everything, but then Albuquerque put a ban on all junipers. They put a ban on all mulberries. They put a ban on many of these separate sex trees.
Male and female?
Yes, and they banned them all, and so the nurseries were left holding the bag. It was a terrible situation because I've talked to nurserymen that were doing business there. They suddenly, half of their stock they couldn't sell. And I found out about it from someone else, and so I got in contact with the city of Albuquerque, and we talked about this at length. And then they changed the rule. You could sell a mulberry tree if it was female, a fruiting tree.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes, you could sell a juniper if it made juniper berries because it didn't produce pollen. It actually removed pollen.
All right, Tom, hang on for a second. Let me do something here, and we got just a couple of minutes left when we get back, but I've got a couple of questions for you, and some of the reaction that I've gotten when I talk to people about this issue. That's Tom Ogren, and he is the author of Allergy-Free Gardening, and I've got the information, the link. I've even got the video, Tom, to the who is that shaking the tree and all the pollen comes off of it in that video?
Oh, that's the guy I met down there.
Oh, you got to see this video. It'll scare the dickens out of you if you look at this video. So, and I've got that link there also, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. Hang on, Tom. We'll be right back with you. For the best-looking lawn that's free of Japanese beetles, also known as grubs, the common lawn grub, look no further than Milky Spore, environmentally safe grub control, available now at Allsup Nursery. Like all St. Gabriel organic products, Milky Spore is harmless to children, pets, birds, fish, and beneficial insects, but this non-chemical, naturally occurring bacteria is lethal to grubs. In fact, just 3 applications of Milky Spore granules for 2 years, or a single application of Milky Spore powder to let your lawn or on your lawn will prevent grubs for 10 years, and St. Gabriel guarantees it. Besides lawns, Milky Spore can be used almost anywhere in the yard, including vegetable gardens right up to the time of harvest. You'll find Milky Spore and other great all-natural, environmentally safe lawn and garden products from the St. Gabriel Organics at Alsip Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80. And in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. I tell you what, if you're driving down either of those streets, you're on 45 down that way or on 41, and you're thinking, I'm going to pick up something for Mother's Day. It's a week from now. I think I should stop into Alsip. And you can also check them out online at alsipnursery.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I say tomato, you say tomato, and then I say Dr. Earth's tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. Its organic blend contains fishbone meal, which will provide your tomatoes with proper calcium and prevent blossom end rot, which it is a calcium problem. Dr. Earth's tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer is also packed with 7 champion strains of beneficial soil microbes, which help make nutrients available to your plants. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you. And be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth Organic Products and click like for organic updates.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Spring seminars have sprung at Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Next Saturday, May 12th, from 10 to 11 a.m., Pesci's presents a seminar on Dr. Earth organic gardening products. You just heard about Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth's Lisa Grant will be discussing the benefits of Dr. Earth products, Pesci's best-selling organic fertilizer. You should know that. And it's pet-friendly and people-safe. Lisa will answer your questions about their uses, why Dr. Earth-friendly products really work. And following that, from 11 a.m. to noon, it's Dr. Wally himself. And he's presenting tremendous tomato tips. Wally loves his tomatoes. He does love his tomatoes, and he's going to have the tips for you. He's Pesci's Garden Center manager and, of course, an icon on the Mike Novak Show. He will cover A to Z on growing tomatoes organically. Don't miss this informative seminar. And while you're there, pick up some annuals, perennials, fruit trees or shrubs, seeds and starting supplies, and, of course, vegetables. All of their veggies are free of sprays and fertilizers. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Now, wait. I was going to do this one. I think what I want is this one. Thank you for hanging in. Maybe not. There we go.
Close.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. We are talking to Tom Ogren with Allergy-Free Gardening. He's up in Canada doing research. And what are you going to do with all this research once you have it together, Tom?
Okay, it's all going into something called the Pollination, spelled capital P-O-L-L-E, capital N, Nation, Pollination Report. That'll be released by Johnson & Johnson in the middle of June. Should get a lot of press and a lot of, but it will be a very in-depth pollen allergy assessment from planted, from homegrown allergies on all these different cities, coast to coast in Canada. As it'll be a tool for people. So like in each city, a different problems. And so if you're in Ottawa, there'll be suggestions on what you might want to remove from your yard and what you might want to put in its place. Or if you're in Halifax or Vancouver or wherever, there'll be specific advice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, on this trip, I did drop down just so I could spend Easter with some relatives to St. Paul, Minnesota. I think that's the closest I got to Chicago on this trip. But they were... Y'all had a very warm season, spring.
Oh my goodness, it was out of control.
Right, and so when I got down to St. Paul, everything was blooming and going crazy, and I'd been looking at pretty much dormant trees before, and suddenly it was very easy to tell what kind of tree you were because they had leaves on them. But you know, one thing I wanted to make up. Point of is that garden centers and nurseries need to know more about this. People tell me they go to a garden center, they ask for advice on this, they've got terrible allergies, but they love to garden and they like a nice looking landscape. And one fellow told me that in fact I heard this from a couple of people. I heard it from a lady physician the other day. They went to a nursery and they asked about which plants did they use to not cause allergies, and they were told to use male plants, for crying out loud.
Wow.
So, I mean, nurseries need to, and the staff, they need to know more about this sort of thing, because a big, big percentage of the people that are their customers have allergies. And then it would be wonderful if the nurseries would start making it easy for people to buy pollen-free plants.
Actually, Tom, that's a question I wanted to have. I wanted to ask you because after I interviewed you the first time, and I bought the whole thing hook, line, and sinker. You know, I bought into it. I thought, yeah, this makes real sense to me. But I've tried it out on other people, and some of them say, "Oh, that guy's nuts." And it makes me wonder what kind of blowback you've gotten about this, especially from the growers.
The best feedback I've had on this tour is coming from city planners and the top tree people in the city of Toronto and in the city of Edmonton. In Edmonton, I spent 4 hours just sitting down and talking about trees with the top tree people. On Monday, tomorrow, I'm going to meet with the top tree people in Toronto. They've exchanged dozens of emails with me, asked me loads of questions. They have every right to be skeptical about this. This is what is called an emerging issue. It's a new way of looking at something. And it flies contrary to the way things have been landscaped for the last 30, 40 years. But it is a very significant, important health issue. There are many, many elementary schools in Canada and across the United States that are landscaped with very allergenic trees and shrubs, causing allergic reactions in these little kids. It doesn't have to be that way. It could be the opposite.
So if people have concerns about this and they suspect that perhaps their kids' allergies or their own allergies are caused by pollen from some of these male clones, what do you advise them to do?
I advise it to first get on the internet, go use Google or Yahoo or something as a tool, and start looking up allergy-free gardening, look up pollen-free plants, look up female plants, start reading everything that you can, and be skeptical about it, of course, and get a good picture of the whole situation yourself. Go to the library and check out one of my books. I've written several books on this. I just, by the way, got a new contract for a new book called The Allergy Fighting Garden from Random House. And but that won't come out till spring of 2014. I'm working on it now, but a huge amount of new data going into that book. I've been collecting data like crazy for years. But I would say, for starters, any tree or shrub in your yard that never makes any berries or any fruit or any seeds is very suspect. And if you don't know what it is, take a sample of it down to a nursery where they're knowledgeable, to a good plant center, and ask them to identify it for you, and then go look up information about that particular shrub. I mean, for example, taxus, the yews. In some of the cities I'm at, this is a very serious health problem. They are planting taxus right next to front doors. And all taxus, the yews, they all come in either male or female. There are no in-between. And the females make a small red berry. The males make a lot of pollen. It is a poisonous species. The pollen is poisonous also. People get very strange reactions from this pollen. A huge amount of things, none of them good. Allergists do not test people for yew pollen because everybody would react to it because yew pollen is poisonous. And then they will plant these yews right under people's bedroom windows as a foundation plant. And then they will bloom precisely at the time when it starts warming up and you want some, quote, fresh air. And so you open up your window, and the yew pollen comes in through the screen, just like the screen is not even there. It lands on you while you're sleeping. You wake up the next morning, and you don't feel good. You feel itchy. You feel tired. You feel cranky. All sorts of different things. And it's not surprising because from yew, from Taxus, they make Taxol, which is the chemotherapy drug that they use for breast cancer.
Wow. This is just amazing stuff. I would let you go on, but we're flat out of time here, Tom. And it's just, this is why people need to pick up your book, Allergy-Free Gardening, and look for it online. I want you to be in touch with me when you finish your Canadian tour, and if you're ever in Chicago way, stop by the studio. But let me know, keep me posted when the report comes out, okay?
I'll do that, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be on the Mike Nowak Show.
Always a pleasure to have you, Tom.
Okay.
Take care now.
Okay, great talking to you, Mike.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have you been to the new, and I mean new, Christie Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in Chicago? It's been a great spring at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village, and things are only getting better by the day. Christie Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center is jam-packed with lush new plant material. I was just there the other week. It's great, including colorful blooming perennials, gorgeous grasses, charming annuals, shrubs galore, edibles from fruit trees to herbs, intoxicating tropicals, fun containers, and more. When we shot the dig-in footage last week, I saw a really cool thing. Christie's great selection of organic mulches, composts, and soil blends that she puts together herself. Just ask them what they have on hand. Of course, stop in and say hello to Copper and Buttercup in their lovely new coop in the backyard. They're chickens, in case you were wondering. Visit Christie Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook, or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. It's right in your own backyard.
Are you passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, or living a more sustainable and green lifestyle? Then pick up your free copy of Natural Awakenings magazine throughout the city of Chicago and northern and northwestern suburbs. Natural Awakenings is available at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, retail locations, and wherever free publications are found.
Natural Awakenings is your local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and complementary medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, a local events calendar, and so much more. Natural Awakenings is also the perfect way for advertisers to reach health-conscious and green readers that actively support like-minded businesses and service providers. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Pick up your copy of Natural Awakenings at more than 800 area locations or read it online at nachicagonorth.com.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
Thank you, Melinda. When you're shopping for plants, you want to see what they're going to look like in a real garden, and that's what The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora is all about, the natural setting. Where else are you going to find 1,000 varieties in jaw-droppingly beautiful gardens? They grow most of their own perennials, annuals, herbs, vegetables, and mums, and The Growing Place focuses on being responsible, eco-friendly, and sustainable. Now, through the end of the month, stop in on Saturday mornings from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for container magic demos at both locations. Discover new ideas in container design with the distinctive Growing Place touch. Watch or create your own. And mark your calendar for the all-day, once-upon-a-time mini garden weekend at Naperville on June 2nd and Aurora on June 3rd. They'll celebrate fairy, gnome, and wee little gardens. Look for miniature crafts, activities, fairy face painting, planting of miniature gardens, as well as design and plant advice. The Growing Place, 25 West 471 Plank Road in Naperville and 2000 Montgomery Road in Aurora, or go to thegrowingplace.com. In the last few minutes of the show, we're going to Alan Alford, who is with a great advertiser on the Mike Novak Show, PlantSkid. Alan, it's wonderful to have you on the program.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. Now, where are you located?
Just outside of Vancouver, B.C. in Canada.
You know, we just went from Montreal to Vancouver because Tom Ogren was talking to us from around Montreal there. Or, no, Ottawa,
yeah.
I think he said. Ottawa is what I think he said. You know, folks ask all the time about keeping plants, their plants safe from critters, and you guys have come up with one of the best products that is on the market. My co-host for Dig in Chicago, Jennifer, loves PlantSkid. How does it work? When folks want to know, how do these things work to keep plants or keep deer and rabbits away?
Well, the product is called PlantSkid, and that's PlantSkydd, and that's Swedish for plant protection. And the product was originally developed in Sweden for the forestry sector, where they needed something that would last 6 months over the winter. And so our product, animals associate the odor with predator activity. And so we have it in a couple of formulations. We have a ready-to-use liquid, a powder concentrate, and a new granular product. And so the liquid products are sprayed directly on the plants. And again, the odor the animals associate with predators. The granular is sprinkled on the ground and around your flower beds in a 16-inch perimeter.
And I've seen it work. We went over to Jennifer's house, and I think I told you the story that there was a bunny in the next yard, and she said that he won't come here because I put PlantSkid around. And it was amazing. Here we were standing there, and all these plants, hers look great, and this rabbit's just sitting there, and he wouldn't come into her garden.
Right, and quite often I will recommend, deer and rabbits are creatures of habit, so I would recommend starting early. If they become comfortable in an area, it can be more difficult to change their habits. So if you start early, and particularly if there's certain paths where they're entering your property, if you treat those areas and treat early, you can keep them out of your property altogether in many cases. And if you can do that, you're going to be ahead of the game.
And how long does the product last? Because sometimes you worry about it washing off.
Well, PlantSkid does not wash off in the rain, and that's what makes it different from the other brands. So it will last 6 months over the winter. However, in the active growing season, it's the new growth that you're going to have to be concerned with. Deer and rabbits love the fresh new growth, the tender growth of tulips, and so.
And this is all natural products. It's 100% natural. People don't have to worry about hurting the earth with this.
Absolutely not. PlantSkid was the first product to be OMRI listed organic, so officially organic. It's completely safe for children, pets, and the environment.
Wait, was it the first plant product to be listed as a repellent or first product overall?
The first repellent product to be listed by OMRI, which is the Organic Materials Review Institute, and they designate products as officially organic, suitable for the production of organic food and fiber.
So and I'm looking at the list. You have deer, elk, moose. We don't have a lot of moose here. rabbit, hares, voles, squirrels. So will it work on squirrels?
It will work on squirrels and chipmunks, yes.
Wow. See, now that's going to make some people happy. See, in Chicago, that's the problem you have. It's the squirrels and the chipmunks, and they're everywhere. They're just, you know, everybody's frustrated with squirrels and chipmunks. So get yourself some PlantSkid. You got to go to my website, MikeNovak.net. I put that great cartoon bunny that you had on your own website. That is just a fabulous picture. That's worth the price of admission alone. Hey, listen, Alan, it's a pleasure to have you as an advertiser on my program because your product is so good, and I hope people will get some. And let's stop by again on the show, and we'll talk more about habits of deer and rabbits and how to keep them at bay.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye. That just about wraps it up. Wow. If you feel like it, go over to the Green Fest today and listen to the bongos. I hope they don't interrupt your presentation tomorrow. And all I got to say until then is go green or go home.